Welcome back. A former NHLer is one of the co-hosts on the Missing Curfew podcast. Joins us every Thursday. Scotty Upshaw is here. And Scotty, I have to ask you, as a guy who was traded a few times at the trade deadline, what's the best way for players to fit in on the new team?
Well, I think this sort of season, I mean, it's a little bit different. Before I tell you, Jason, just to kind of, you know, come in the room, meet the guys, couple firm handshakes, ask them where they're going for beers after practice, that sort of thing. But right now, it's probably showing up and showing up the right way. I mean, coming in and you know, doing your role, being a good guy, being a good teammate. You know, you really just you got no time now. There's so many games that the condensed schedule and here down the stretch for all these teams. Really makes it hard for a new guy to come in, but I think the easiest way to fit in is just to get those skates on and start playing hockey again.
Now, of all the trades, Scotty Upshaw, which one did you like the best, or the best upgrade for a team?
Well, geez, Strutty, I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. I never really got to upgrade teams as far as in the standings when I got traded.
No. He means of the ones that just happened.
The trades that just, yeah.
Yeah, not yours.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, geez, we can get to yours later.
Do we really got to talk about me again? You know what, boys? I really like a lot of the trades. I thought Stevie Eisenman did a great job in Detroit bringing in, you know, some young talent and shipping out a guy in Mantha that didn't really pan out. Signed him to a big deal. You know, team's not really playing that well, you know, but all of a sudden he gets to, you know, Washington, has a breakout game, 1-1, first game, and kind of putting in everyone's mouth. All the doubters who kind of said that Stevie Y did an incredible job at the deadline. So, you know, that was one. I really like the moves the Florida Panthers made. I think bringing in Brandon Montour was a piece and a great fix for Aaron Ekblad being hurt for the rest of the year. And then Sam Bennett. I know in Edmonton country, Sam Bennett's a guy that's, you know, played hard minutes against the Oilers for years and, you know, a top 10 pick, just really didn't kind of mature to the ability I think Calgary Flames fans were hoping he'd be, but he is again a good piece in Florida in a division that I think is up for grabs still. I think they have a great chance against Tampa Bay. I think they have a great chance against the Carolina Hurricanes, and you know, anyone can come out of that division right now. I'm convinced. But when you look at the trades that happen, I want to focus on a couple things, and we talk about pieces and not trying to mix up your group too much, and I think that can always be a negative effect. I think what Toronto did, bringing in Foligno and that Ben Hutton, I think those are two guys that, you know, provide. Foligno, for example, is a guy that will play in any sort of situation for your team. Yeah, Sheldon Keefe will be able to tell him, hey, listen, tonight I need you to just, you know, be a grinder. But tomorrow you might play with Matthews and Marner. And he will accept that challenge, and it will be something, you know, you look at their team now, I think they got three guys that captained NHL teams now in their lineup that will play every night. Spezza, Joe Thornton, you know, Foligno. And then, you know, the toss-up was, well, Foligno got more back than Taylor Hall. Why is that? I think it's because Taylor Hall wasn't a piece to the puzzle for no one. It was, you know, you bring Taylor Hall in your room, it can really... Yeah, it can have mixed emotions on a lot of different guys and on, you know, on the chemistry on the team. And I just think Toronto did a great job. I think the Islanders did a great job with Kyle Palmieri and Zajac, again, pieces. And then Jeff Carter to the Penguins, to me, is a trade that, like, why not? Why not add a guy with two cups that can still skate and fit into a core group of guys like that? Why not? And then, you know, that's my feeling. I broke down a couple trades there for you guys. I hope you guys enjoyed that.
Oh, Scotty, always. Interesting about the East Division with Boston and Washington and Pittsburgh and the Islanders. Like, all of them went out and made some moves. Now, we'll see if the Jeff Carter one matches up to Mantha or Hall or Palmieri or any of them. But definitely, you know, that's a division that's pretty hotly contested, and they were all matching one another for sure. Are you surprised, like, Colorado, they went out and got Devan Dubnyk, and now they're going to have to use him more than maybe they even thought originally with Grubauer being hurt. And, you know, they went out and got Soderberg, and that's all. They didn't get a defenseman. Are you surprised by that?
I am. But again, if you watch, I get a chance to watch these guys play a lot. You know, they're consistently playing the Blues, the Kings, the Anaheim Ducks, and I get to see them a lot down here. The Colorado Avalanche right now are playing some of the best hockey I've seen in modern era hockey. They hold on to the puck. Their guys are dynamic. They score at will. Yes, they got, you know, they got their butts kicked from, you know, the St. Louis Blues last week, but they are a team with a vengeance. And I think Joe Sakic, I think we talked about this. He's not going to make moves that's going to affect, you know, maybe the chemistry in that room. He truly believes that, you know, he has to get, you know, these pieces that in case someone gets hurt, and we just saw it with Grubauer, you know, Devin Dubnyk's a guy that's, you know, he's brought the Minnesota, not the Minnesota North Stars, but the Minnesota Wild, that's dating back here, strutting to us. You know, he's helped them be in the playoffs. He's been there. He's a big guy, big body, and quite frankly, goaltending for them has always been a question mark. So they address that. You know, it's hard to really find those right pieces without giving away future. And you know, you look at their back end. Geez, their back end to me is so good. You know, Makar is playing lights out. That other little guy in the back end, Girardi, he's been unbelievable. I pronounce his name wrong, but
Girard.
They're a team, boys, that are just, they're playing well. I wouldn't have interrupted anything. They're the team to beat right now in the West. I think they've sized themselves up against Vegas and the Blues and all those, you know, those teams right now in that division, and they've been beating them at will. So for them, Joe Sakic did the right thing sitting back.
One quick one here about that group. When I look at Vegas, Colorado, whose stars are bigger stars?
To me, it's the Colorado Avalanche. You have Nathan MacKinnon, who is the one, you know, probably the second, I would say the second most dynamic player in the league. Ratanen right now, who's, you know, and I called him to win the scoring title, although Matthews is kind of pulling away with it. He, you know, those two guys right now with Landeskog, that to me is the line right now in that division that will, you know, be the determining factor if they come out of a series against Las Vegas Golden Knights. I mean, the Las Vegas Golden Knights, I think, are bigger. They're, you know, they can play probably a more physical game. And in the playoffs, I think we all know that you know, hard physical hockey, demanding hockey is what wins. And who stays healthy, I think that's important. But, you know, they're the team to beat. You can't say that, you know, Las Vegas, and, you know, they have their Stones. They have Pacioretty. They got Petro. They got Fleury. You know, they have a star-studded lineup, but it's just not as dynamic as when you have Nathan MacKinnon in your lineup.
Yeah, I think the big difference, though, is the strength down the middle. The center ice in Vegas is, like, they might be 10th best centers in the Western Conference right now. Like, they just, that's a, you know, hey, no offense to Chandler Stephenson, but my goodness, I'm not even sure he'd be, like, top 30 centerman in the Western Conference right now. Yeah. Scotty Upshaw joins
us on Emphasis. Let me touch on that, Jason, before you go. Chandler Stephenson last year in the playoffs for me was awesome. Like, I thought he was going to come in, and I think it was a big reason why Stastny got moved. But you're right. He hasn't really turned into that guy that's, you know, going to be able to lean on those heavy, heavy minutes against those, you know, those star-studded players down the stretch. Yeah. So, you know, that's a good point. It's a very good point.
Yeah, he's a good NHL player. I think he helps your team, but you know, you got to go against MacKinnon, or you got to go against Kadri. You got to go against, you go against McDavid and Dreisaitl, and, you know, you go down other teams, Scheifele and them. I just don't see them matching up there. Even Taves and Doc went back if we go to the Western Conference. I know they're not there right now, but, you know, then you get to the other, like, the elite teams of Boston and other ones. I just think that might be Vegas's downfall. It's too bad because they got really good positions everywhere else, but I just don't think they have the elite centers. Now, the Oilers acquired Kulikov, a guy, you know, what are Oilers fans getting in Kulikov? What do you think of that deal for Edmonton?
I love the deal, actually. We talked about Cooley on our podcast this week. You know, I played with Cooley for 4 years in Florida. He was a great young Russian defenseman that, you know, he was very North Americanized. He skates very, very well. You know, he's going to fit in great. I think he's a compliment to the blue line right now. He's going to eat some minutes. He likes to block shots. You know, we always call that in hockey. He likes to eat pucks. Strutty, you know what I'm talking about. but just, you know what, guys? He's going to compliment the team. He's a good skater. I think Kenny Holland did a great job picking up him. You know, would Oilers fans like to see a little bit more? Yes, but again, I think Edmonton right now can beat anyone on any given night, especially in a seven-game series. So it's about stockpiling some extra guys that know how to play the right way, and I definitely think Dmitry Kulikov is one of them.
Sticking with the Edmonton Oilers, they've had a lot of time off for the various, COVID protocols and shutdowns, and we've seen like that. You know, is it getting to be the point, or is it past the point, of too much time off before an inactivity?
Boys, I think time off right now is so key, and I say it because not only do you get the rest and you get to re-energize and health. Obviously, health right now is such an important thing. But time away from the game too right now for me, knowing that it's been such a long year that it has been, and that these guys, they've been at the rink every day. They have not been able to take a breath away from hockey. I think it's great. And, the teams that are just going to be crunched up against, the deadline of the season ending, fixing the schedule, getting the games in that are missed, those teams, it's going to wear on them come playoff time. You still have to think, you got to win 16 games in the playoffs to hoist that cup. And the playoffs haven't even started yet. These guys, I guarantee the bumps and bruises and the aches and pains are just, they're multiplying by the day for these guys. So I think it's a blessing in disguise. Now, the whole Vancouver situation, that is something I can't fathom, and I'm glad JT Miller came out and talked about it yesterday. I was going to bet the house on Edmonton if they were playing the Vancouver Canucks
exactly.
Tomorrow night. That was for sure. Because there is no way on God's green earth that the Vancouver Canucks can put together a group of guys to go play against the Edmonton Oilers, in a serious hockey game after what they just went through. I can't fathom that. And I was hammering down. I think my bookie was going to take it right off the map if that game was
going. Oh, I totally agree. I said it yesterday. That would have been like the easiest ever. I'd have taken the over in that one. And I know that now it sounds like they don't have to play until Sunday, but still, even then, a few days of practice, a few extra days can make a difference. No question for the conditioning of some of these guys, but it's like, they're going to play, if the schedule from what we sound like is they're going to play Sunday, Monday, then that means they might have to play four games in 5 days when they come back, Scotty. Like, are you joking? And I get that they used to do that in the playoffs and guys were accustomed to it, but nowadays coming off of COVID, like those third and fourth games, it's just going to be walking wounded. And I think their whole next month, the Vancouver Canucks, the only benefit for them is going to end up in the draft lottery.
Yeah, just throw a couple double headers in there for them too while they're just stick around. Fans that come to the game get to stay for a hot dog and a beer in between the games and get to watch the next one right after. Like, I just couldn't believe it, but I'm glad, I'm glad it was addressed. It's something serious. You don't know, I mean, for those of us who have had COVID and, it's obviously, it could be a serious thing for people that get it, in bad fashion, but it does so much to your lungs, in some cases that these guys, who knows how they feel. And it would be just, it would be sad to put them out on the ice again, trying to back check against Drysdale and McDavid all night. It would have been point night. They would have both ran away with the Art Ross. There's no question about it.
Well, take a look at the Calgary or the Canucks schedule. Let's just assume they get all these games in. I mean, Uppy, there's going to be back to backs, like no practice time. Like, what do you think that rolls out? I'd assume everyone gets back to feeling good. How do you think that type of schedule, ends up for the Canucks on their bodies and who even cares about their record?
Yeah, it's going to get to the point where, they're going to use a lot of their taxi squad guys. There's going to be a lot of opportunity for younger players who kind of been sitting around all year, not playing much to come in and play minutes. I think they realize they're not, in any sort of hunt and that things are not going to get any easier. And they're basically doing this so the NHL can finish out a scheduled season, right? I don't think there's any more, hope that they're getting in the playoffs. So it'll be tough. I can't imagine it. Hats off to the players and their families and their bodies for what they're going to go through. But, Strati, I don't know about you, but I'd probably do anything just to lace them up with those boys again. So if they need a guy, they know where to call. I'm down here in Newport. I'll strap on the skates and come on up.
Are you playing any men's league, Scotty?
Boys, I played my first game of hockey like 3 weeks ago. in one calendar year. It was wild, but I felt pretty good out there. I hit the post a couple times. I threw a couple backdoor soft passes. I was taking it easy, but I did play one game of hockey. I felt great, and I'll probably have to get back out there at some point.
How are you didn't score a goal, just hit some posts with your hands, just had a chip off the cement for a bit, or what?
Yeah, I wasn't forechecking much. I told the guys I'd play D and just, you know, play that rover position, but I was more of a passer than a shooter. There was no girls in the stands. I had no one to impress. I was just out there just kind of, you know, keeping the legs moving, getting a little sweat. It was great.
Scotty, always good to catch up with you, man. We will talk to you next week. Have a good one.
Thanks, boys. Talk soon.